Has joined.
Is there more than one?
Don't know. Marcus, so I'm not sure if anybody else is on.
I'm here.
Good morning to everyone. Kodesh Tov to everyone. This morning's class is a study of Psalms. We are presently studying Psalm 89. And the number 89 connects to the Organus, which is Hanukkah, the hidden light, because the holiday of Hanukkah is the Gematria of 89.
Hanukkah has joined.
And it's interesting to note that according to NASA, there are 88 constellations identified in the skies around the Earth. And I'm of the opinion that when the 89th is revealed, that will be an indication that the Organus is being revealed. That would be an indication that the Mashiach has arrived and is starting to manifest. So Psalm 89, we have studied verses 1 to 6.
Robert Fisher.
And there are about 53 verses.
Has joined.
In Psalm 89. And the number 53 is Nun Gimel. In the reverse order, Gimel Nun. And that spells the word Gan, the garden. Typically, the garden is the Garden of Eden. And all of these connections are parts of unification. So our handout is available on the unique astrological times landing page, which is a link that's underneath the two pictures on the right of every YeshM webpage. When the landing page opens up, please scroll down to the section that's titled Ta'anit Dibur, which is translated a fast of words. And underneath that, you will find three links to the Psalms landing page. And we're on in the link, the third link that has to do with Psalm 89. When that landing page opens up, scroll down. It's the first one on the page. But you need to scroll down to the bottom of 89, just above Psalm 90, Tehillim 90. You'll find a link. There's two links, actually. But Psalm 89 has not been translated by Rabbi Sutton as of yet. And we've been discovering as we went through the verses how difficult it is to translate these verses. So scroll down, first open up link to the Machon Mamre webpage for Psalms for Tehillim. And when that landing page opens up, scroll down to Psalm 89. And then within that, we will be starting at verse 36 today, after our L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabrihu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Urhimu Uthilu Uthilu Urhimu Liachda Lashem Yudhe Bavate The Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah
Has joined.
O Amadunai Elohinu Alena Maaseya Deinu Kurenei Alena Maaseya Deinu Kurenehu. Please keep in mind that it is Rosh Chodesh and that the permutation that we should be utilizing every time we see the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh on the scroll, in the Hebrew sections, we should actually be striving to see Heh-Heh-Vav-Yud. And when we see that, on Rosh Chodesh, we pronounce it with the root vowels of those letters. So we pronounce it, hey, hey, why, yo. And at the same time that we are making that pronunciation, we recognize the letters of the month. The two letters of the month, the Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the planet Mercury by its name that is spelled Kafav Kafet. The planet Mercury, Kohav, which translates as both the word planet and the word star, because there is a definite connection between planets and stars. But the planet Kohav, or the idea of the stars, is Kafav, is the 26th, which is Hashem's name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Heh-Heh-Vav-Yo. 26 is all of the light, all of the fulfillment of desires. Kaf Bet is the 22 letters of the Hebrew Aleph Bet. And every creation has a name. And every name is composed of Hebrew letters. Therefore, Kaf Bet, the number 22 associated with the 22 Hebrew letters, is really connecting and unifying all of the creations, every vessel in the universe, every desire in the universe is expressed with the Hebrew letters. And so, Kaf Bav Kaf Bet, Kohav, a star, a planet, is representing the unity of the light and the vessel, the light through Hashem's name, and the vessel through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 36 in the Hebrew. Achat mishbati bekadshin im leDavid hakazev. The English translation that, as we saw last week, is not an easy translation. It's a little bit corrupted. Once I have sworn by my holiness, surely I will not be false unto David. The first word is achat in Hebrew, and achat is the feminine form of echad. It's the feminine form of the number one. What is the number one? It's the essence of unity. Everything is unified when you are one. But if you look at the English, you don't see the number one. It says, once have I sworn. You can understand how they're trying to make a connection to it, because the Hebrew in its literal translation doesn't read well in English. But what is the true meaning of unification, of achat, of oneness? The third word in the Hebrew is the kadshi, and you can see the shorish of kadosh. The bet at the beginning of the word is in or on. So in, and the yud at the end of the word is the personal pronoun my, in my holiness, or on my holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is an energy. Holiness is an energy that has required a pure vessel to be lifted up and transformed by something outside of itself. Usually it's considered the Hashem. Hashem lifting up and transforming a purified vessel into an energy of holiness. So what does on my holiness mean? In the context of that lifting up and transforming. You don't see that in the English translation. You're not getting the full essence of what the Hebrew is telling us. If you look at the second word, and I don't really know, make that connection, so I look at the individual letters. But if you look at the English translation, nishbati is probably having to deal with swearing. But you'll notice it starts with a nun, and the nun has the energy of falling. So we can understand that when we swear, when we take a vow, which is, in English, the word swearing is related to the concept of vow, vows and oaths. When we swear, we're actually falling spiritually. Because a statement is a vow. I am is a vow. I am going to meet you at 3 o'clock this afternoon is a vow. It's an oath. You don't need to make that statement. But we make it because it's how we communicate with other people. Second letter is the shin, and the shin is created fire. And what is the creation of fire? It's passion. It's the strength and power of fire energizing our feelings, our passion. A shin is composed of three vavs. A vav has a gematria of 6. 3 times 6 is 18. That's the Hebrew word chai, meaning life. Passion is our connection to life. The bet, the third letter, is a house. It also means in or on, as we said earlier in the Kadshi. In, just the first three letters is telling us in the falling passion. The next two letters, ayin and tav, spell the word at or et. But ayin tav represents a period of time. It could be an eon. It could be a minute. It could be a second. It could be a day, a period of time. And the yud at the end of the word is the personal pronoun, my. My time is a house of falling passion. Kabbalah teaches that time is the distance between cause and effect. This is what the letters in the word are expressing to us. Do you see that in the English? Are you getting that from the word swear, sworn? This is why it's so difficult to translate. This is why Rabbi Sutton has not yet translated it. Because his translations, as we'll discover when we get into verses Psalms 90 and beyond, and what we discovered earlier, his translations, because of certain additional phrases that he adds, that he makes clear where he's added, it allows us to really get all of the different levels, sometimes up to 70 levels in a translation of the Hebrew, because all of those 70 levels are built in to the Hebrew verses. The last three words, im, is translated surely, but it usually is translated if. But it also is spelling the word M, mother. Aleph Mem. The mother to David, Le David. What does that have to do with holiness? Yes, King David is a chariot, or Malchut. King David is holy. But it doesn't say Melech David, it says L'David. The Lamed is a letter that means a teacher. It relates to education. So what is the education by David or to David? Akazev is being translated as false. Normally, many times, we'll see the word false being translated from the word lo, meaning no, not. Why is this word being chosen? Let's take a look at the gematria. It's a gematria of 30. 30 is the letter lamed. Lamed is related to teaching. So what's being expressed in these last three words is the concept is if David, which represents manifestation, because King David is the chariot for Malchut, and Malchut is manifestation. King David, or David, if David is teaching, you begin to really appreciate how confusing and corrupted the English translation for this verse truly is. Verse 37. Zaro le'olam yihye v'ki yiso kashemesh ne'igdi. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. The first word is Zera, actually. The vav at the end of the word is the pronoun for his or her. And Zera is a seed. But what is the nature of a seed? When you plant a seed in the ground, it starts to grow if it's watered and so forth and all of the other components and attributes and necessary nutrients. But the concept of a seed is the ketzer. It's the beginning. The beginning will endure forever. Does that make sense? The second word is le'olam. Le'olam means a world. It means a universe. But it also means to the universe. The lamed is usually translated as to, T-O. And yihyeh is the name of Hashem in the world that is coming. In our world, Hashem's name is spelled Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, or today, Heh-Heh-Vav-Yud. But in the world that is coming, what we call Olam Haba, the world that is connected to the Sefirah of Bina, the world that is coming, the Vav of Hashem's name becomes a Yud. Because what is being expressed in Yud-Heh, Yud-Heh, is that the two upper worlds, Yud-Heh, the name of God, Yah, is mirrored by the lower worlds, the name of God, Yah. In our world, there's a disconnect between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. They're mirror images, but they're not perfect mirror images, because the Vav is not a Yud. But in the world that is coming, Hashem's name will be Yud-Heh-Vav-Yud-Heh. The fourth word, Vav Kis-O. The Vav at the end of the word has a connection to his. The middle letters, Kisei, is translated as throne, his throne. The Vav at the beginning of the word represents the connecting word and, A-N-D, and his throne. But what is the connection between endurance forever, the world that is coming, Olam Haba, and his throne? Because it is like the sun, which is the word kashemesh. Shemesh is sun, S-U-N. But the way the Hebrew works, there's a yud between the kaf and the shin that gets dropped. Because it's two words, actually. Ki, which means like, L-I-K-E. And Shemesh, sun. So, and his throne is like the sun. Negdi it's being translated as before me. The throne is like the sun. It's a source of light. In the world of Briah, which is considered Hashem's throne, meaning Hashem sits on his throne, Hashem is above the world of creation, which is Briah. And this is what's being expressed. The seed will endure forever. The world that is coming is the seed or the world of creation, which is his throne. And it is going to be the light of the sun, much more severe, much more empowered than the light of the sun. This is the world that is coming. And all of this is expressed in the Hebrew, but it's not expressed in the English translation. There are six words in verse 37 that connect to the Zeronpin, meaning the small faith, meaning the energy of maleness, the energy of heaven. All of these adjectives that I'm expressing are built into the Hebrew words. There are 26 letters in verse 37, connecting directly to Hey Hey Y-O, Hashem. The gematria of Hashem is 26. Verse 38. Ki'areach ikon olam v'ed ba'shach ne'eman selah. It shall be established forever as the moon, and be steadfast as the witness in the sky, in a sky. Selah. The word Selah has no translation, but we have been revealed in the Kabbalah and the Zohar that whenever you see Selah, it's a pause. You need to stop and contemplate what you are being told in the verse, in the words and the verses beforehand. It's not a long pause. Most of the times when you hear it read in the Hebrew, number one, they don't study Kabbalah, so they don't know that it's they're supposed to pause and contemplate. Contemplate is a word that really is talking about meditation. But it's a short meditation. It's understand the import of the words that are being said before you say Selah. There are seven words in verse 38, and that represents the seven lower Sephirot, which are the six Sephirot of Zeronpin, in unity, the seventh, which is Malchut. And again, we have 26 letters. You have an extra word, but the same number of letters. Let me make sure that's correct. It's 26 letters, so you have an extra word, the same number of letters. Most Hebrew words have four letters. So if you add a letter, there should be another three or four letters. How did it happen that they're not? This is just one level of the 70 levels of the Hebrew language. Every verse in the Torah, every word in the Torah, and some say every letter in the Torah has 70 translations, 70 explanations. One of those explanations is the gematria, counting the letters and the words. We learn things. We learn that this verse is important, but we would have known that from the word Selah. Learn if it's connected, a direct connection to Hashem through the number of letters, and it's a direct connection between the unity of the spiritual and physical worlds through the number seven in the words. Now, if you look at the Hebrew in verse 38, what is the word for moon? The word for moon is typically lavana, meaning white, because the moon appears white in the sky as it's reflecting the light. But what word is being translated as moon? I don't see it. But it doesn't make sense if you translate moon, the word olam meaning forever. Tikkun is probably what they're translating moon as. It just doesn't make sense, because the word, even in the English, it doesn't make sense. It shall be established forever as the moon. Moon is a metaphor. Moon is a metaphor for the Jewish people, for the children of Israel. The other nations are considered the sun, and the moon is considered the children of Israel. Because the purpose of the children of Israel is to keep balance between the 70 nations. The goal, the purpose of the children of Israel is the moon. Because what does the moon do? It lights up the night, the darkness. And the children of Israel will be established forever in the Olam Haba, the world that is coming. And that's what's supposed to be thought of in the and contemplated in from the world. Word Selah. Verse 39. We atana zanachta v'timas hitabarta im shichecha. There are six words, and we know that that's connecting to Zeran Pin. Without its unification with Malchut. The male without the female lacks the ability to manifest. That's Zeran Pin without Malchut. There are 26 letters connecting to this verse has a direct connection to Hashem. When you read this verse, you are connecting to Hashem. The translation, but thou hast cast off and rejected, thou hast been wrought with thine anointment. The English doesn't make sense in our modern parlance, but what is it really saying? It's saying that Hashem has cast off and rejected. What is it rejected? The anointed. That has been, Hashem has been upset with the anointed. Who is the anointed? The anointed is the children of Israel. The anointed is Mashiach. The verse is essentially saying Hashem is upset with the children of Israel. And so it pushes the children of Israel away and leaves them at the vagaries of the other 70 nations as a wake-up call. Hashem never abandons the children of Israel. He just moves away from them. But Hashem doesn't move. The children of Israel move away from Hashem. And this verse is just announcing that fact. Verse 40. Ne'ar taberit avdecha ilalta laret nisro. Thou hast abhorred the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown even to the ground. What is the crown? The crown is the Keter. Do you see the crown? Do you see the word Keter in verse 40? It's not there. Why are they translating crown? My Hebrew is inadequate. But if you look at the fourth word, Ket Lamed Lamed Tav, Ket Lamed Lamed is one of the 72 names of God. The Tav at the end of the word makes it feminine ending. I'd have to look up what is the energy of that 72 name, the attribute of Hashem. But that's what's being there. That's what the verse is talking to us about. La'aretz. We're talking about the land of Israel. But it's being translated as ground. And Nisro is being translated as his crown. But I don't know really what Nisro should be translated as. What is it expressing? The Vav is expressing his. The Zion is expressing that point between the spiritual levels and the physical level, the point where all of the Shefa, all of the flow of goodness that comes into the physical world comes through that point called Zion. It's referred to as the Jerusalem in heaven, the Jerusalem above. The nun at the beginning of the word is expressing a concept of falling. The resh has two different energies. One is the concept of the rosh being the head. The other is a lack. The resh is a lack. How can the head be in lack? Just ask yourself that the next time you have a headache. And by the way, there's no reason for you to ever have a headache if you utilize the tools of binding by striking. And that's not to say that people who get migraine headaches have done something wrong in the past or are doing something wrong in the present. It's just lack of understanding and not utilizing the tools properly. Verse 40, English translation, thou hast abhorred the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown even to the ground. Is Hashem our servant? No. We are Hashem's servant. We serve Hashem. When we abandon the covenant, on one level, that's abandoning the Brit Milah, the circumcision. On another level, it's not following what Hashem recommends us to do, the mitzvot, and what he recommends us not to do, the negative mitzvot. Verse 41. Six words. Letters. I've explained the number 25 before many times as being the five worlds within the five worlds. It represents a stage of completion. It's not totally complete, but just as that you can climb steps and you reach a landing on the step, but you look up or you look around and there's more steps. But this landing, you've reached a stage of completion. This is the idea of 25. The English translation, thou hast broken down all his fences. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. What is the meaning of fences? In Kabbalah, in the Torah, we are taught to build a fence around the Torah. What is the meaning of that phrase? Adam built the fence around the Torah because Hashem told Adam, Eve was not present. Hashem told Adam, do not eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And Adam, in his wisdom, built a fence when he told Eve, do not touch the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Is there a difference between eating and touching? Of course there is. One is further distance. One is keeping you away. A fence keeps you in and keeps other things out. We are taught to build a fence around the Torah, but we're also taught to be careful when we build that fence, that we don't keep out what we shouldn't keep out, and that we don't limit ourselves by being kept in. That's why only the sages, those more highly connected to Hashem, are capable of building fences. You have to be very careful building a fence, especially around the light of the Torah. Verse 42. Jasu call over Diarech Aya Terpa Lishkaina. There are seven words in this verse connecting to the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut, connecting to the unity of the spiritual with the physical. English translation, all that passed by the way spoil him. He has become a taunt to his neighbors. Who is he in this verse? Can it be the children of Israel? It's not capitalized, so it's not Hashem. You don't see the name Hashem in the verse. And 26 letters. So, one of the meanings of the number 26, when you count letters, is Hashem is being concealed. Because you have to do an overt act of counting. It's just not an obvious connection until you count the letters. And this is an indication, this is the way that Hashem has created his world, that he is concealed from us. In the Garden of Eden, he was not concealed. He spoke directly to Adam and Chava. He wasn't concealed. But after the sin, he concealed, meaning we concealed him. And we can reveal him by counting the letters. The verse is talking about the 70 nations who are looking with physical eyes and physical senses and striving after physicality. And they taunt the children of Israel, because the children of Israel say, no, it's not just physical that's important. It's spiritual that has the priority. This is what the verse is expressing. We have a few minutes left. But I'm going to stop because it's verse 42. And what does the number 42 represent? I've always told you, chapter and verse numbers do not count. They're not from Hashem. They were created by the monks in the monasteries in the Middle Ages, in the Dark Ages. And we, as children of Israel, have adopted that nomenclature because it's easy. They're the majority in the world. All of that, they're always writing about the Bible. We have our own way that has been relegated to be less important, of how to know where in the Torah you are talking about. We don't use chapter and verse. We use the spaces in the scroll. It's a lot harder. You have to memorize the scroll to know where you are and to be aware of the counting of spaces in the scroll, but the columns of the scroll and so forth. It's just too complicated for most people. So we use the simple system of chapter and verse, but it wasn't created by the Creator. It's not, doesn't have built-in holiness. Therefore, the number has less meaning, except in one scroll. The scroll of Psalms. There, the chapter is representing the order of that particular psalm, where it is exists in the order of the totality of psalms. We're studying Psalm 89, and we've reached verse 42. 42 is connection to the Anabakoa, which has 42 words. 42 is a number that relates to creation. It's 42 is Membet. Mem is water. Maim. Maim is chesed, loving kindness. Bet is the house, the vessel of love is creation, the essence of why the world was created, to express Hashem's love for his creations. So we are stopping today at verse 42, even though we have a few minutes left. It's Rosh Chodesh. Very highly energized day. Not a complete holiday, but this physical world has elevated partially. So some of the physical world is unified with the spiritual. That's the meaning of Rosh Chodesh. A holiday. It's not a complete unification, but it's a stage of unification. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting yourselves to perhaps ask a question, I will mention that at 11 o'clock West Coast time, which is 2 o'clock Eastern and 1 p.m. Central, we will have a class where we will connect to the Shir HaShirim. And Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, we read on Friday so that we can do two things. Evaluate what were the goals for this week and how well did we achieve those goals. So every Friday, we look out to the next week and write down, what do we want to accomplish next week? And we write those down. And then the next Friday, we'll evaluate, how well did we do? Did we achieve those goals? Do we need to do better? This process is the evaluation. It's called the cheshbon, the calculation. It's you judging yourself. But we know if you judge yourself, Hashem has no need to judge you. Because after all, when you judge yourself, you're going to be harsher than when someone else judges you. Are there any questions? Shalom Gadol. May you all have a beautiful week. Shabbat Shalom, Kodesh Tov, Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom.
Good Shabbat.